I wonder what you picture when you think about faithfulness. The first thing that I think of is the saints. Growing up in Catholic elementary school, we weren't allowed to wear costumes on Halloween, but we could dress like the saints. And I remember poring over my little picture book of saints to decide which one I would be. But inevitably, all of us girls chose the same saints, the pretty ones and the princesses. There were always loads of Marys, Therese of Lisieux, the little flower of Jesus, Bernadette, Bridget for the Irish Catholics, Elizabeth of Hungary. As an adult, I've come to realize that the stories in the books were, shall we say, incomplete. The message that the pictures and stories conveyed was of obedience, meekness, patience, and of course, chastity. To a person, their expressions are serene. Nowhere in those pages were there doubts or questions, only total certainty. And to me, that was faithfulness. This morning's gospel brings us the parable of the tenacious widow. We don't know the details of her life or her case, only that she believes she's been denied justice. And on top of that, her case has been assigned to a singularly indifferent judge. Both his words and his actions tell us that he does not particularly care about God, and he does not particularly care about other people. It makes you wonder what he does care about. His motives are completely opaque, but whatever they are, his preferred course of action is to ignore this woman and dismiss her case. But this widow will not let it go. She keeps showing up day after day after day, knocking on his door, calling up into his window, pushing past his receptionist. She's like those spam calls you keep getting on your cell phone. And in fact, she's not just tenacious. She's also pugnacious. The text tells us that the judge fears she will wear him out, but the Greek word there is actually a boxing term. He's afraid that she will give him a black eye. Jesus tells us that our prayer life, and really the whole of our faith life, should look like this widow. He tells us that faithfulness is showing up at God's house, pounding on the door, demanding answers, and insisting that God give us the good things that God has promised us, but which keep eluding our grasp. And the widow is in good company today. She is joined by Jacob, one of the patriarchs. For Jacob, nothing comes easily. He's been fighting since before he was born, struggling, we're told, with his twin brother in his mother's womb. In fact, he's born grasping onto his brother's heel, as though he could pull him back into the birth canal so he can be born first. And on this particular night, he's in a tough position. He's fleeing from his father-in-law, only to find himself about to run into his brother. Both of these men have fallen victim to Jacob's not entirely honorable cunning. They've lost considerable wealth to him. And it's in this sticky situation, on the banks of a river, that Jacob meets God, or at least a messenger from God, in the form of this mysterious man. Maybe out of habit, or maybe out of desperation, Jacob wrestles him. And he wrestles with such intensity that the mysterious man puts his hip out of joint. And then, as the sun begins to rise, finally demands that Jacob let him go. But Jacob will not stop. Now, more than ever, he knows his need of God, and he will not let up until he receives a blessing. When the match finally ends, Jacob is given a new name, Israel, which means one who strives or struggles with God. The wrestling match is over, but Jacob's struggle and striving with God is not. It will characterize the rest of his life, and not just his life, but the life of his descendants, who will share his name, the whole people of Israel. I love these stories, because they look much more like my experience of faith than those picture book saints. It is not neat or tidy or clean or certain. It's a wrestling match in the dark. There is searching and uncertainty and unanswered demands. It's messy and sweaty, full of struggle and mistakes, and sometimes even pain. God says, Jesus says, if faithfulness feels like a struggle, you're not doing it wrong. In fact, you're doing it right. We, too, are spiritual descendants of Jacob, people who strive and struggle with God. And that is what real, authentic faith looks like. But that's only half the equation. Because God does not leave us to our own devices. God doesn't sit back and twiddle God's thumbs while we struggle and flail. Luke is right that we are the tenacious widow. But it's even more true that God, whose faithfulness is infinitely greater than ours, is the tenacious widow. God keeps showing up, keeps knocking on our door, keeps pleading for our attention. It's true that Jacob strives and struggles with God, but that name Israel also means God strives or struggles. God relentlessly, devotedly calls us, inviting us into a transformed life, a life shared completely and thoroughly with God. For me, it is in community that I am able to show up to this struggle. It's in community that I have reliably experienced God's love and invitation. And it's in community that God works on me, nurturing the things that need to grow, healing the places that hurt, and wearing away the edges that need some smoothing. It's been true of every church I've been a part of, and it is true of St. John's. Here at this altar, I have had the incredible privilege of experiencing the way that God keeps showing up and giving God's self to each of you, into your hands at the Eucharist. I've witnessed how God is striving within and between us, tending to pain, coaxing beauty out of sorrow, emboldening us to try new and uncomfortable things. It takes my breath away. And here, through your welcome and acceptance, God is teaching me to embrace the parts of myself that don't look like those picture book saints. God is revealing to me that my vocation is about helping people to deepen their relationships with God, and challenging me that I had better be doing that work too. Most of the time, change doesn't happen overnight. That's one of the problems with those saints. They seem as if they're either born that way or they become that way in one magical moment. It makes their profound faithfulness seem hopelessly beyond our reach. Why should we even try? But more often, most often, change happens slowly, incrementally. God keeps showing up, keeps asking us to take the next possible step. And like water that wears its way through stone, like the widow and the judge, God changes us. We pray for a minute a day, and then two, and then 10. We give a few dollars and a few dollars more. We become just a little bit more brave. At St. John's, God is slowly changing me. And that is why I give. When Andrew and I first got married and tallied up our debts, we didn't pledge. But that didn't feel good. And I realized that if we waited until it felt like we had enough to start giving, it might never happen. So over the past 7 years, we've been slowly increasing our giving. We believe strongly that giving to the church is not the same as giving to God. The work of this church is only a fraction of the work that God has for us to do. But we also believe that our churches are the primary places where we struggle and strive with God, and where God struggles and strives with us, and where, in the process, we are changed. Our churches make it possible for us to be faithful. And because of that, we've committed to doing roughly half of our giving to our two churches. For 2020, we are pledging $5,000 to St. John's. I hope that you will join me. Not because pledging is the thing that determines whether you are faithful or not. It sure is not. But I do believe that it's one way that we can respond to God's persistence, to bring a little bit more of ourselves to the table. It is part of how we struggle and strive. And showing up to that struggle, that is faithfulness.